Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to the latest episode of Old Brother, a podcast about Salford / Manchester's legendary institution, The Fall. We got delighted to have a guest this week who was the person who suggested the podcast in the first place, Mr. Mark Riley.
Hello.
Hello. Also joining us is erstwhile McCartney to his Lennon, the Gnagger, who was which. Mr. Craig Scanlon. So, for the purpose of the tape, good afternoon, Craig. You
all right?
Good. And obviously, my much more talented brother, Steve, is also joining us. Evening, Steve.
I wouldn't say that. But like,
you'd think it, but you wouldn't say it.
Right, so here we are. So, the first thing I was going to ask, and you'll cause some debate, when was the last time the four of us were in a room together?
Right. Well, I mean, this is what you touched on it earlier about the memory bank.
Yeah.
The collective memory bank. So, I mean, I'm really, really rubbish, right? My memory is shocking. But when I've been listening to your podcast, I've been thinking, that's wrong.
Yeah. I know what you say, though.
That's wrong. So, I mean,
now's your chance.
You
don't have the answer to it, though. I know that's wrong, but I
don't know. We had an hour, right, with him and Simon trying to decide whether they went to New Zealand or not.
Largely speaking, you're right. I mean, none of us will have a clue. I don't know. It could have even, because obviously, you know, me, Steve, Paul, we've seen each other a lot in different scenarios.
Yeah.
I've seen Craig less, but probably not in the company of you. I remember we were at the Fiery Furnaces, weren't we? Yeah. At the Night Day Cafe, but you wouldn't have been there.
No. Nope.
So all four of us, I really can't place.
I've been a long time. I mean, I've not seen Mark for longer than, I mean, seeing these mm-hmm. two. That's after a long gap as well.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
You had an idea, didn't you?
I think it was your wedding, but you see, it wasn't really a wedding. It was just like a reception. That wasn't today or yesterday. I've still got a bone to pick with you about that, because when you got up for a jam, you had Simon on drums. Never got over that, mate. Not that I'm bitter
and
twisted.
That's what this is all about.
Yeah. Well, I'm not taping
and it. And
it wasn't my lead.
It was Andy Berry on vocals. You three, obviously guitars, and then Simon on drums, and you did Brand New Cadillac. Well, I'm not bitter.
I seriously don't remember that.
I don't remember.
I remember a band called the Blue Torpedoes, which was Eddie.
Well, it was there, yeah, wasn't it?
You know, Ed.
Was it? See, I don't remember any of this.
Right, okay.
But then again, you see, I mean, like in your book, Steve, so you talk about going on a roller coaster with Nick Cave in Greece, and I didn't remember that either. So if you don't remember that kind of shit going down,
there was that time we met the Pope. Do you not remember that?
I do remember that.
The balcony.
I will say, we went on a few adventures with the birthday party, though, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, that gig, first time we saw him when he threw the light. Well, there was the rafters, wasn't it?
Yeah, I ducked.
Did it hit you, or did he catch it?
No, it hit me on the shoulder.
Right.
And smashed through a light.
Yeah.
He picked the light off the ceiling. I can't, don't need the mine.
Yeah, yeah.
He picked his light off the stick of rafters out on there, a low ceiling, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And threw it out in the audience.
You'd have to imagine it was pretty hot, because it was a spotlight, and he was unscrewing it. It's not like he just grabbed it quickly and chucked
it. It wasn't just a bleeding bulb, was it?
No, it was the
whole lamp. It was a spotlight, and it whizzed past my ear and smashed on his shoulder, and then we went to say hello afterwards, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. Did you want to use your lamp back?
With a lamp sticking out.
And am I right in saying that John Peel was there?
I don't remember that. He might have been, but... the only time I ever met John Peel was on the tube. Because he never spoke to the band whenever he came to gigs, did he?
Pretty sure he was at the birthday party.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Because I've talked about that before. We used to go to Rafters near enough every week, didn't we, to see gigs?
Yeah, well, I mean, that, again, just listening to Craig's podcast that and going back to the first one where you're saying Steve this is like I'm sorry about
I
this
I think but, if I know mine is quite accurate in some of
yeah it is
because I found out seeing the fall first
yeah
was penetration rafters. Ooh, you're right, obsessed okay. with the electric circus.
I'm not obsessed with electric circus.
To be honest, I can't remember seeing the electric circus.
Oh, I remember that. Did,
yeah. I remember it being a long day and people popping night. In and
two
out
days.
Of the place,
yeah,
wasn't
two
it?
2 days, yeah.
We went both days.
I don't remember going out of the way to watch them. I just remember seeing them for the first time, which was the...
Which was first then? Rafters or the electric
circus? Penetration of Rafters. So that was Craig and I went to that.
Yeah.
And then I think the next one might have been Magazine. And then the next one might have been Wayne County and the Electric Chairs. I've got, like, I did take some photographs of it before. Call me, sir. I don't do it very often.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, so, and he, but Craig's dead right. I remember watching The Fall with Penetration and we just both looked at each other and went, fuck
it. It was true.
This is it.
All the garbage you had to sift through.
Yeah.
But he was like, whoa.
How do you square that with we didn't seek him out of the Electric Circus then? You were a favourite band by then, weren't
you? We didn't seek him out after Penetration.
Oh, right.
After that gig, or you had your T-shirt, or was it after the second gig?
Trying to place it together, I imagine that I did the T-shirt, maybe after seeing the Magazine show, so maybe the second time that we saw them.
Right, okay.
And then I think at Wayne County... Sorry?
It's scary, that.
Yeah.
T-shirt.
Yeah, stalking.
Like, what's it? Alan Partridge got the tattoo. Hated TikTok.
And then I would imagine that Smithy saw me at the Magazine show with the shirt on, and then... Or at the Wayne County show.
Right, okay.
And that's when he started talking, just because they had the shirt.
Right.
So I'm not sure where within all of that the Electric Circus was, but certainly the first time that we saw him with Penetration.
Right.
And Wayne County, and I don't think you were at either.
Neither of them.
No, right. So
I was at the Magazine.
Were you?
Yeah.
Right. Now, the thing is that you couldn't remember seeing the band with Una. But she was, as you pointed out, she was at the Electric Circus.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's so long ago, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. He remembers joining the band and being told he was playing the keyboard.
I know.
Completely forgetting the fact that they had a keyboard player.
But she wasn't there. I remember playing Rebellious Jukebox on the keyboard.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So
the way you say that, you don't believe me as well.
Yeah. I don't remember, Your Honour.
So at Rafters, that was Friel, was it then? Would it have been Friel?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And then, we saw him at the Band on the Wall as well.
Did you see? You didn't see him at the squat then with Eric when he threw the chair.
So that's when that was pretty much his leaving party, wasn't it? I mean, the only time that Eric surfaced to do anything was for the John Peel.
That's what he didn't do.
Which, of course, I was in the band as well.
Yeah.
And Steve Davis was in there with his congas.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember going up to St. Paul's Road in Prestwich and opening the door, and Eric just going, I'm not playing in any fucking band with congas. And he slammed the door and went back in.
Seems a little short sighted.
Nothing to do with the shirt, no.
Sorry?
Nothing to do with the shirt. There is that story that
he had a Hawaiian shirt.
He said congas when what he did to congas.
Well, the thing about that is, as far as I can piece together, they said to Steve Davis, bring your congas, and you've got a session fee, so then that would pay him for driving the van down. That sounds pretty much about the side.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that was the old trick, wasn't it? I mean, you just used to get an extra MU fee for...
Yeah, I mean...
Half a Manchester down.
That's how the polyphonic spree started, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just to get... But, Yeah, great on Rebellious Jukebox and Congress. Yeah, yeah, really good.
They work, I mean, it didn't work so well in Holland when we went with our drummer.
Oh, that, yeah, that's, that's
kind of worn off a bit.
Well, I mean, it's all very well having a drummer and a conga player, but just a conga player.
I mean, I wouldn't mind, but Eric went on to join Santana.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Hey,
fake news.
So, the other thing I was going to ask you about is the sirens. So, nobody talks much about that. I'm not
surprised.
Yeah, yeah. But, what I was, you did one gig with the sirens, so that was you three and Stuart out of Fast Cars, is that nice?
Steve Murray.
Yeah.
Stuart was the bass player, his brother.
Oh, right, okay.
Right.
And there's obviously.
And Paul Easton.
Yeah, was the drummer, and he was in drummer in Fast Cars as well.
No,
was he not?
No.
Oh, right, okay.
No. We got him from an advert.
It's quite somewhere. It was smoothie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Middle class.
Older in a way.
Right. So were you any good then?
No.
Right, okay.
Not really. I mean, I remember we did I'm Down, didn't we, by the Beatles?
Yeah. I mean,
it was quite good for us.
Yeah.
Last stage.
Yeah, yeah. Not bad.
It was a bit kind of.
What Velvet Soul Jones. Did we do?
But I mean, it wasn't like you could pick any song then. It was only because we had the single and you turned it. I mean, there was the old songs to learners were quite hard to come by then. It wasn't like you could pick them off the internet, was it?
Yeah, I mean, and we couldn't play very well either. So, yeah. I mean, but it was, it really was the case. I mean, you know, if you think about it, what we used to do for that, we used to have to hire the village hall, the church hall,
yeah,
St. Michael, for a fiver, which was pretty extortion.
That's a lot of money then,
You know, for these kids coming down and doing it. I mean, we used to carry all the gear back and forth. It was like a trail of ants. So we've been from your house up Moorcroft Road, and, you know, back again with a drum. And it was, pretty laborious. I mean,
first of the rehearsal time was Kelly in the gear.
Yeah, the only gig that we did was the pitch gig. But John, the postman, did get up at the end, didn't he? Which kind of gave us the thumbs up. Do you remember that? And there was a band called The Shock.
No, get over every fucking band.
Yeah. I know.
Well, you didn't know that time.
I took it as that. I remember that. So there was a band called The Shock who opened for us.
Yeah. And female.
Yeah. Now I heard, I don't know if this is right or wrong, that Gillian from New Order was in The Shock that night.
Wow.
So maybe, I don't know, maybe I could ask Cuffy or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or Gillian.
Yeah, that'd be better to ask her, really, yeah.
Yeah, they were a very early prototype Riot Girl type band, though, weren't they?
Yeah. They were
kind of. Yeah, Animal was all that as well.
Yeah, but it was punky.
But didn't you have a girl singing in the sirens after Stuart? What, we know?
Yeah.
We never got to a gig. We had a girl.
Yeah, we tried it, but it just didn't work out, did it?
Right. So that will have been about the same time as you started seeing, or was it a bit earlier than you started seeing the fall, at least?
It would have been about the same time, I imagine. Right. But, yeah, we'd only got one gig under our belt when I got asked to be a roadie, and then it wasn't that long after that.
No, but Steve had left for the final. He left after the first gig.
That tells its own
still
story.
Still going, isn't
it? Yeah.
Fast Cars are still going. Yeah. There's nothing, Fast Cars just returned from their Japanese tour.
Well, that's the story about them, isn't it? Because they pressed up that one single, didn't they? Kids Just Want to Dance, is it?
Is it on TJM? Is it?
I'm not sure, it might have been. Right. But they pressed up 1,000 and sold about 50. And then binned the rest. And so as a result, they're all worth a fortune. It's like a 500 quid record.
Okay, no. That's the way to do it, isn't it? You see that...
But it's power pop, wasn't it, that he was into, and... Yeah.
John Marr put this thing on the other day. You know that picture of Pete Shelley when they had that 2-year anniversary at Leicester Free Trial, and he's holding the poster up for the first one. So all the dogs, bolt the buzzcocks, right? That went for some ridiculous amount of money. It's something like 20-odd grand or something.
Well, you know that John had a lot of...
He had a lot of them. His mum threw them out, yeah.
So that's why my cellar is full of shit.
You never know.
Was it Wayne Barrett the singer?
Yeah.
You remember when they played that we came on that really carefully. He had a cloak on as well.
Did he?
Yeah, he used to do a bit of that.
He came on quite tensively, and then something like that. He put all glitter in his cloak, didn't he?
Oh, it's talcum powder.
Not having a dry ice machine, that's a
good thing. That's a hit for you, yeah.
It's a lot easier. Go to boots.
So you were up the last bit of all to see Swamp the Dogs.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So well, yeah, a bit out of your. So how did you come across Slaughter the Dog? Because obviously the Windshot bands, aren't
they? I think probably there was a guy I've called Anthony Coftree now a year.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
he
was,
and he was.
Oh, Greg, sorry, Greg's and Greg's. You
and he was younger than Slaughter the Dogs, but knew him, and he was in a band as well. And they also knew Wild Ram, which turned into Ed Banger and the Nosebleeds.
Right, that's Billy Duffy.
No, it was Eddie Garrity.
Right.
But also Phil Tolman was in there, who ended up in Primal Scream.
Right.
And Blue Orchids, Toby. Right.
Toby, yes.
And we kind of knew Mike Rossi from gigs, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we'd recognised him from gigs because he was like, I can't remember.
He was our bathroom ramp. I tell you, he was our bathroom ramp. Our bathroom ramp.
Yeah, we did give up.
But anyone you ever talked to about that time, they say the Free Trade Hall, I mean, you used to be able to sneak in. And it sounds like the whole fucking audience, none of them paid in. They all sneaked in the side door.
The reason you could sneak in so easy was because they had the same security as he did for the Halle, and they were all really old guys. So they were no offence, but they were just dead easy to bamboozle. So
and also, what you do?
Oh, here we go.
You have a pretend ticket.
Right.
A bit of scrap of paper. They have two bouncers at the door. You go to the bouncer on the left, but then suddenly turns to the bouncer on the right.
So he thinks you've shown
That was it, exactly.
He thinks you've shown at one of them.
But also, it's dirt cheap to get in, so we just went to every pile of shite.
You saw a lot of shite, didn't you?
Anything. I mean, I remember. Carla
Bley band.
Who?
Yeah.
Who?
Jack Brent and Carla Bley.
Yeah. I didn't go to that.
Supertramp was must have been the name.
Well, I like them. So
did you?
Bought tickets for that.
This was pre-Breakfast in America, was it?
It was Prime of the Century and Dreamer and all that.
Oh, right.
I liked it. But he's like Craig said, you might Rossi the battering ram, not his head, his feet, but he could do the he sprung doors at the back of the fire door. So,
right.
But I remember running through once and being chased right up the stairs, right through the bar by a bouncer, probably wheezing away.
And then
down the stairs of the other, and then I ran in, and it was Backstreet Crawler.
Nice.
Backstreet Crawler.
And
I sat down and fell asleep.
Probably dead at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah, so you didn't see any sort of iconic gigs at the
John Cale. Yeah.
John Cale,
yeah.
Fucking hell.
Lou Reed.
Jade Hall.
Yeah.
Lou Reed.
T-Rex. Mick Ronson.
John Cale.
Television and Blondie.
Hockey Mask.
Television and Blondie.
Yeah, yeah. The only reason I know about that is that T-shirt that you had that eventually got stolen, didn't it, that T-shirt? The John Cale one with him in the hockey mask.
We got ripped off in when we got jumped at the bar pub that night. That's what it was.
What the hell?
The Alex Harvey one.
Ooh, Alex Harvey.
We saw that.
Yeah.
We saw
Doctor
Feelgood. We saw
that.
We saw loads of great
guys. Yeah. So the thing.
Kale twice.
And it's banged on about it, probably. The thing that everybody was sat round all their hands waiting for something to happen because there was no good music about it. I mean, that's pretty much bollocks, isn't it?
We never got that. I mean, but then again, you see, we love prog, and so it was supposed to be like, oh, all right, this is the, prog.
Just kind of temper it to...
Yes, a shit.
Yeah. Well, hang on, Alan White, God rest his soul.
A shit.
What?
Yeah. I'm sticking with Jemison Pink Floyd. We like that. We love
Yeah.
Okay. We went to see Camel as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
I can find very little redeeming feature in Yes. I've tried, because you go back and you think,
I can't stand it.
Yeah, no. Awful.
R.I.P. Alan White.
But I mean, Alan White, he played on Instant Karma, so I didn't do anything for that. I don't think there was ever, because the people who were at that gig were at that gig because they were at loads of gigs. It wasn't because they suddenly decided that night, I'm going to go out and discover what music.
No, but we didn't have the intimacy.
No, right.
Plays like Raptors, did we? So actually, be right next to the band and see him wandering about and all that. That was a different magic.
Definitely.
Up into a Free Trade Hall. You never saw. You never see Pete Gabriel wandering around.
Although you do see Mick Jagger in what shop was it?
Reno's.
Reno's, yeah.
Yeah. I just left you, hadn't I?
So, I know. He's telling me. That's a tiny bloke, he said.
But he does that thing, doesn't he, apparently, where, when they do photographs. Mark Radcliffe talked about it in his book. When you do a photograph, you get it, and just as the bloke says, right, okay, he stands up on his tiptoes and makes himself 3 inches higher on all his photographs.
Well, it was ridiculous because he had a white kimono on with a red and gold dragon.
But what else are you going to wear to go shopping?
And he had this really tall just very tall, he must have been martial arts because he wasn't well built or anything. But I went up to Mick Jagger and I said, "Are you who I think you are?" Which is really stupid. Yeah. And he went, "Why? Who do you think I am?" Mick Jagger.
What, went, yeah.
And he signed me a copy of Melody Maker and I gave it to, is it Andy Corcoran at Greg's?
Okay.
So I didn't even hang on to it. But the feature at all, I mean, obviously the massive difference between a lot of the bands seem to play the PJ at all quite quickly. It didn't, you know, I don't know, they would have been doing the university circuit, we wouldn't have been aware of them. But the lesser PJ at all was a different beast altogether, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We didn't even know about that until the Pistols thing.
No, it existed.
We didn't regularly have gigs on, did it?
No. No, I don't think so.
Well, they only got it because it was, well, didn't he write for the New Master Review? I did, well, so that's how he knew about it.
Is it, right?
I think so. Okay. But I mean,
at the interesting part, you found out who actually started using that place. They must have had a, well, they might have had like chamber music or something.
Oh, yeah, it'd be interesting, yeah, that. What was on there? Because it was quite small, wasn't it?
Not 100. Was Richard Boone like the first to actually do it for like?
No, I think they were, them, because they wanted to get the Pistols on at Bolton, and Bolton's after they did a gig, Buzzcocks, just the two with Garth, before they got Steve Diggle and John Marr, and they lasted three songs and they pulled the plug, and then they said, "Well, we've got this other band," and they said, "Well, if they're anything like you, you can fuck off." So they couldn't play Bolton, so that's when they got the Lesser Free Trade on. Changed the world, as they said. So that was what you were saying about the intimacy. That was a massive thing, that, to go from I knew someone in a band, which was obviously you, Mark, because that was a... You didn't know people in bands then, really, did you?
No, but we used to go and see them. We'd see them at St. Bernadette's. We'd see them before, and that, I don't, that might have been when Punk had already kicked in. But yeah, it was kind of a youth club thing, wasn't it?
That's, yeah.
That was it, going to see Slaughter the Dogs. And they were doing Bowie.
Yeah.
You know, Punk didn't exist, so they were doing Bowie tunes, and we knew them a little bit. And so it was, like I say, it was a little kind of...
Yeah.
These people actually exist and are real, rather than just seeing them in the papers or seeing them on the big stage of what you call the really famous people who probably didn't have a pot to piss in, you know, were playing the feature at all to 1,000 people or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, it was our kind of it was a little club we were in, you know?
Yeah.
And while Ram had banged on an old lead, part of the same thing, and we went to see him at the Forum. If you go to the Forum show, it might have been a bit of a check for you, but it was Slaughter the Dogs and Ed Banger the Nosebleed with Vinnie Riley on guitar, wasn't it? Remember?
Bloody hell, he must have fit right in Ed Banger the Nosebleed.
Yeah, he didn't.
Was Morrissey not with him? Morrissey was with him for a bit, wasn't
Sorry?
He? Morrissey was in Ed Banger the Nosebleed for a bit, wasn't he, I think? Or he tried out for him.
Was it Slaughter that he was in with Billy Duffy?
I thought it was Ed Banger, wasn't he? Who knows? Because they split, didn't they, Slaughter the Dogs? I mean, he went on, they became just Slaughter, didn't they?
Yeah, bit, I think. And I thought that was Morrissey and Billy Duffy, but I
could be wrong. You could be right, yeah. And then he moved to LA. I've always wondered how he's managed to survive as a rock and roller all this time. What's his name? Billy? Nick Rossi.
Oh.
I mean, he's never put his pants on before 10 in the morning in his life.
I interviewed him about a year ago, and he's a dead nice guy, and he's got an American accent now, obviously.
I can't believe he's still going.
I know.
He was working with Walton Yore at the...
Who's that?
What, out there?
At the Heartbreakers.
So he was within his band. And so, yeah.
Well, that would be a total dream, that, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, he worked with Mick Ronson as well, didn't he?
Well, Mick Ronson produced the record, didn't he?
Did
one of the records. The story is, again, that Mick Rossi got to know Ronson, and Mick Ronson said, "If you ever get a record out, I'll give you my guitar." Now, that is an iconic guitar. And so he didn't get a record out, and he didn't give him the guitar. He bought a copy and gave it to him and produced Quick Joey Small, I think you might have
mentioned. Right, okay.
So, yeah, he did know Ronson. Yeah, the picture of them walking together in London and that. But, so he moved to New York, and, yeah, what he does for a living, I don't know. But, I mean, he was in Walton Yore's band, but Walton Yore died not that long ago.
Yeah, yeah. His book's quite good. It's all about that. He's up because they're on that, the Anarchy in the UK tour, which I say they're on the tour. He's only got 4 dates, two of them are in Manchester.
Yeah.
Right, so did it feel like a scene then, Manchester? What, at what point did it become... Did it feel like you were part of a...
Rafters was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, for a lot of people, I think that the Electric Circus, the ones who went to the Electric Circus was their real home, but we never went there. We were just there for the last 2 nights.
Well, I mean, that's the only thing anyone can ever agree about.
I saw the Stranglers there.
At the Electric Circus?
Yeah.
Did you? Right.
And somebody got right into Hugh Cornwell's mouth.
I mean, that was...
And he was, like, doing this... I mean, we were like a pub band to start with. We kind of got on the coattails in a way, didn't we? Doing that kind of Sid Vicious, I don't care.
Right.
How was that going
to get? Oh!
Joking up.
Dirty. No, it was disgusting, that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That spitting. Yeah. I mean, what, where did that come from?
Captain Sensible.
Fucking hell, man. He's got Captain Sensible
started it. Well, as I say, Electric Circus was never a venue I thought as a... It was just rafters in there.
Well, it was in the middle of Bleed Nowhere for a start, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
The urban renewal's not reached Colliers yet, I don't think. Is it?
Well, that's Paul Hanley saying that. But rafters, well, we just went there all the time. Yeah. We? That was the thing. That was
so kind of art. One of you mentioned, we got in three.
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
We did, yeah. Quite often, that was, well, I mean, that was a bit later. That was what I was going there.
Later than
that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember getting him free from the...
No. We weren't in the band at the time. That was it. We used to, you know, our face was our past eventually, but it wasn't at that point.
So, to say, in comparison, even inflation-wise, still ridiculously cheap, so we could afford that.
It's pub, that's what he reckons, that's what Teddy Christian reckons the big thing about punk was, that you could go onto gigs and drink beer at pub prices was the big thing, the big selling point of, because before, if you got the free trade off, it was extortion.
That's why we went to the free trade off as well. We'd get served behind the bar.
There you go. If it wasn't for that, you'd still be,
Rafters, we just saw everything I went to. We saw the Banshees there, we saw Generation X and
Nico. No.
Well, that was a bit later, Nico. I was at that. Bloody hell.
She wasn't looking for a tape, though. She was looking for a cake.
I know that now. But, so, you, Mark saw you with the T-shirt. We better talk about the fall, isn't it? Mark saw you with the T-shirt.
I was going to the toilet, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
Want to be the precise detail.
Yeah, I do, yeah. So you were in the toilet, Mark.
Approached me.
Yeah. There we go.
No, I was coming out of the toilet.
And he admired me. He admired my T-shirt. That's very tight. So then you started roadie. Just you was roadie, weren't you, I presume? Mm.
Yeah, he just saw the T-shirt and said, "Oh, do you want to be a roadie for the band?" I'm like, "Yeah, of course I do." I mean, they were our favourite band at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, so
and don't remember an invite.
No, yeah, we.
There's only room in the band for one, mate. And I had the muscles.
They were everyone in there doing it for free.
Bleeding Weeds, that was, wasn't it? Yeah. Do you want to be a roadie for our band? We can't pay. Oh, yes, please. Yes.
Well, again, it was just, I mean, because which one are you two roadied for Donovan with me?
Yeah,
that was you. Right. We went to see Donovan. He was as bad as you, man. No offense. But the roadies, we were waiting at the end. Didn't even like it. We were waiting to see him at the end at the stage door. Right? And the roadies came out and went, you, do you want to earn a fiver each? We're like, yeah. And because there was hardly any
gear. That was a lot of money then.
Didn't even pass the floor there. Couldn't get anything.
We were disappointed.
Five had paid for the Churchill.
So we went in, and of course it's Donovan. All he's got is a rug, a guitar stand, and a PA, which wasn't that big. So me and him humped most of it out and got a fiver each.
Bloody hell.
And robbed the rug.
Yeah, run off with
rug
the
rug. Right, just hang on. Don't say anything, sister. I'm just going to pause it and get a drink for everybody.
Oh, okay, that'll work.
So, what was the first gig you roadied for the fall then? Where was that?
I think it was the Croydon Greyhound, only for Susie and the Banshees.
Wow.
I think.
And that's the one where John Walters was there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So was I.
Well.
So, we helped you lift gear.
No, you went there, you were Mark's roadies.
You were there. Yeah, I can't, that's the first one I can remember.
Remember?
You must have been at an early one.
Yeah, you must have been. I can remember helping him with the gear at the squat for that Eric's last gig.
Yeah, that was later, wasn't it?
So you basically contracted out to me.
Subcontracting.
See, I got paid now, and I gave you less than that.
We had to pay you.
10% of all his earnings.
No, they had
Please can be roadie, sir. Please can be carrying the advertiser.
But, I mean,
it might have been
quite an anesthetic. Well, it was like a school hall, wasn't it? It was like there's no atmosphere whatsoever. It's all wooden floors.
Yeah,
it was quite weird to see it.
It's like a town hall, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it might have been Eric's. That's the one I can really remember.
Right.
In the back. That again was a bit like, oh,
you're on the stage and yeah. the band, she's not that long before we've been paying a gold watch.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I still love to this day, so.
Yeah, indeed. Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure.
Right, so then who was the bass player then at Graham? Was that still Mark? Was that still Tony Freeland? Was that Eric Mann?
No, Eric. Yeah. I never rode him whilst Tony was in the band.
Right, okay.
Or Una.
Right. Una. Possibly not. Well, it was Johnny Brown, wasn't it, very briefly? He was he was post-Tony Freeland.
Yeah, he's kind of mystery man.
Yeah.
Brown, isn't he?
Yeah, before we completely change the subject, the first drummer in the Four was called Steve Ormerod, apparently, it came out of that. Is he any relation of John the Postman? No, but it's not the most common of names, Ormerod, is it? So you would have thought he'd have been a relation of John.
Might have been.
Well, they both call the same thing. They both all the gigs.
I think John would have mentioned that quite a lot.
I think he possibly would have. Yeah. But anyway, so I digress. Hand on the Wall was your first gig after the debacle with. So was it straight away they asked you to do it? You asked you to join after the Peel Six?
About the day later, I think. Then Mark just rang up and said.
You must have thought when he said.
No.
Did you not?
Not at all. I mean, not even slightly, but quite simply because A, I couldn't play bass. And B, I couldn't play guitar properly. It wasn't very good, you know. Yeah. I mean, I'd not nailed it.
Well, that's what you call somebody who can't play guitar very well. And you could play guitar.
I know. I could play
bass is a totally different instrument, though. I know it's simpler, but it's heavy on fingers, isn't it?
Yeah, if you can play. Yeah, I always say if you play the guitar, you can play the bass, but if you can play the bass, you can't necessarily know the guitar, which is just stand up in court, wouldn't it?
And then maybe we can all agree with that. But it's not necessarily played well.
Yeah.
So, the bass on like Whistler's is great.
Yeah. I'm largely playing what Tony Freeland wrote, really, or Martin. But anyway, I mean, I think it's a bit perfunctory, you know. I mean, when I hear it now, I think, that's kind of done.
It's quite big boots to step into as well, Tony Freeland, because he was a riff-driven, wasn't he?
Yeah, he wrote a lot of stuff.
Quite unusual.
Yeah.
He was, yeah. He was like sort of lead jazzy. Yeah, yeah.
You know, he was going to get some nippies. Presence of a flower pot.
Yeah, but
he had the riffs.
If you listen to Last Orders stepping out, it's all bass, isn't it?
Psycho Mafia.
Yeah, Psycho Mafia. It's all the bass line, isn't it?
I think Tony was the driving force of the writing at the beginning, but then obviously.
You go and Matlock.
Yeah, and then obviously when he went.
You got Sid Vicious in.
Eric Vicious.
Both. Small furry animals, because Sid Vicious was named after Johnny Rotten's hamster. So there's your link there. Eric Ferret and Sid Vicious.
There you go. The Ferret's the Jumping Clark's backing band when he did the boat.
Yeah, I think they were. Yeah, they were. Yeah, that's where he got his name. I don't know why. Why has he got so many names, Rick Goldstraw?
Well, there is an answer to that. Which
Moving on.
Moving on, indeed.
Yeah, so you were both.
I think, yeah, it would have been the day after the Peel session, but I didn't see it coming at all.
Right.
Absolutely. And, that was it, really. It's just that simple.
Right.
And
so then,
what did your folks think of all this?
My dad was always really, really supportive because he didn't like his job. He was an amateur winder and he was backbreaking and, you know, in Trafford Park, and he didn't want me to follow him, and he knew I wasn't academic. My mum, however, wanted me to work in a bank despite the fact that I got a U in maths. So my mum still wanted me to work in a bank.
Yeah.
My dad did want me to go and just, you know, spread my wings for a little bit and then probably fail. I mean, he probably didn't think it would lead to what it led to.
No. Well,
that's cool, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Because my parents never thought I had a proper job, so I joined
You didn't? You did.
They were right. They were right.
Well, we are in the vault. We can have a fight.
But no, because I'm talking about that with that. I think I said about. I don't. My dad let me join the Four at 16. I'm not sure. I wouldn't let my kids join. And he said he probably thought it was none of his business. Really? When he was 16. He'd been left school 2 years and working full time, so he probably thought, "Well, he's 16; he should be. You know, it's not nothing to do with me."
Yeah, but when you've worked really hard, then I mean, you know, you like to think that you've both done, "Oh, go and have a bit of fun." I mean, and you did. I mean, you were in the Four for that stretch of time and made a great impression and a great legacy. And then you went off and you know, you
had
a really successful career.
Eh?
you know.
Did what you did.
Yeah, yeah.
But
cured, I mean, cancer, split the arm, you know.
So, but, and also, I mean, obviously your brother was in the band.
Yeah, yeah, that was a big band.
It was,
yeah,
like, it was kind of like, and Craig was always, you know.
Yes, yeah. So I had three big brothers the day I joined the force. Thing. Still got them now, 58, and I'm still the little bloody brother.
Yeah.
Those listening at home, they just sent me to the bar while I was the same. I'm the youngest. Not really. So you were at the Band of the Wall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you were at, yeah, well, obviously, yeah. Because I remember you coming out of our house that day. I think I do. I think I do. You were at, came out of ours in the afternoon.
To your house every,
every
day.
Bloody day, yeah. But no, but it was a...
Was he carrying his bass?
Yes, he was. Yeah, yeah.
So, no, you was.
No, I didn't go. I was only...
What entourage.
I was only...
No, I was in the band.
That roadie business.
I was only 14, or maybe even 13 when you took it. No, no, the first time I saw the ball, I was still pretty young, was... what was it called? We played with the Distractions. Well, not Brady's, that was in Liverpool, wasn't it? It was somewhere like that, some club, but... You,
Beach Mills.
What?
Beach Club.
No, it wasn't Beach Club.
Mills.
No, it wasn't. It was. I can't remember what it was called now. It'll come to me.
I'll bring you up. Then. It sounds like an old folk. So
I'm talking about the first.
Bring up and stuff and people like,
the first time. Do you not remember doing a gig with the Distraction supporting? There was no stage when you got there.
It was the Beach Club.
What?
Pretty sure. I was at the Gay Animals.
I played with the. I played at the Beach Club. That was. I was, no, was just after I joined.
I played with the Distractions quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we played at supporters at Fagin's as well, didn't we? The first time we had two drummers.
He was a bass player.
Pip Nichols. Thank you very much.
How do you know that?
Alex Sidebottom was a drummer. Have you lost me there? Mike.
What's the singer called?
Nice bloke, and I can't think of his name anyway. Well, I did that.
Steve Perrin was a guitar.
Yes, right? That's right, yeah.
Mike.
Mike. I won't say Mike Bennett, he wasn't Mike Bennett. He was somebody else, didn't he? They were great at the Distractions, actually. They were really good.
Yeah, some good songs.
Still going as well.
Still going, yeah. But I mean, if you're talking about gigs, that was a gig. That Stuff the Superstars, there with Fall were on, Distractions were headlining, Joy Division were on.
And was it that,
that was at the Mayflower.
Bellevue.
Yes.
How was that like?
Yeah, I know you were.
I was playing, but
you got headbutted.
I got headbutted by Ozzy's brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking knobhead.
God rest his soul. I don't know him actually.
Is he dead?
I've no idea.
I hope so.
I used to remember that.
You say that joke about everybody, God rest his soul, whether they're dead or not.
But he busts your nose right open, I remember that.
I don't know. He's been a dick. He just came in the dressing room. I mean, it was an open door thing. We just came in getting the drinks and giving our list to us. Just give us a minute. Ozzy came in and apologised. Right. Sorry about me, Robbie. Because he was a proper nerd.
Don't remember. I don't remember.
Didn't he have a broken leg at the time he had got to do it? I seem to recall.
Me?
Not you. No, him. Ozzy's brother. Launched himself up.
We're back at the old hospital.
He was in the wheelchair when he beat you up.
Like an episode of Victoria Wolf.
Stephen Hawking beat the shit out of him. I think that was that might have been it, but they were definitely on last, the Distractions.
It was just up the road from me, like.
Is it an old car showroom or an
auction room or something like that? It was a
Funhouse, it was called, wasn't it? Mm. When we went to see Nick Turner's in the City Unit there. We were the only people there, as I recall.
Really?
Yeah.
With Bowie, yeah.
Literally five.
You said Bowie then?
Yeah, with Bowie came.
Yeah.
So that was another shithole, wasn't it? I don't think it was quite as bad as the...
It was awful, but I think it was shutting by then.
It was almost the last gasp, wasn't it?
Yeah. When we did that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's almost derelict, really.
Right. So the one thing I've got to say, I got a phone call the other day from Jeff Travis, would you please, taking umbrage with the idea floating in somebody's book that he had suggested to Mark that he sack his band.
He could have had a subtler way of introducing.
I was going to talk about record company. We'll talk about that.
I think this is called an official apology, Steve.
Yes, it is.
You've got to get with the program.
Yeah.
So he never did it.
He never. Oh, he was. He was. quite affronted at the idea. Well, he thought he was just said it'd be a terrible idea for Mark.
Now, did Mark kind of broach this and say he suggested?
Yeah, I reckon that.
Well, there we go then.
Yeah, I reckon.
Ultimately, man, he's basically saying I did. Right. Mark would be saying I did the right thing.
I said, I'm with you.
I'm keeping the land.
Yeah. Under all the pressure from the record.
Under all the pressure from Jeff Chalmers.
Yeah, oh, man, I've been angry about that for years.
Right, so yeah, I think.
Sorry, Jeff. Sorry, Jeff. I know. I was going to say it's very telling that everybody's apologising. We're all apologising, apart from Stephen. Yeah. Bloody wrote it.
The Boris Johnson School of Apology. Very, very sorry if you.
Can we not move on?
Yeah. So, you were on Step Forward when you first recorded. So you did the first single you did was It's the New Thing.
Yeah.
Where was that?
I don't know. I honestly can't remember.
We were there.
Yeah.
I remember. I did a spoken part. What was the B side of that? Was it
Various Times?
I did a spoken part.
Oh yeah, of course you did. Yeah.
Didn't fucking use it at all.
Yeah, I remember.
You might have an undercurrent there, but I was
like, you had a reading out to read out. Yeah. I can't remember.
This was really exciting for us, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Proper studio.
Yeah. I mean, I remember a lot more about Live at the Witch Trials because it was very eventful, the recording of it.
Well, I mean, you did it all the day, didn't you?
Yeah, well, we had a week in the studio with Bob Sargent and we were staying on a hotel, I think, in Southampton Road. We had no money and Mark and Kay were out every night with Miles Copeland and Budjinty. But Mark, he's lost his voice, and then so we just sat around for 5 days. We had no money.
Martin was psychosomatic. I got a psychosomatic voice.
That's why.
Possibly. But he said he had a vitamin jab up his arse or whatever.
Well known for curing the sore.
With B12s. Yeah. I was following somebody used to have that. I thought it was Elvis, but having B12 jabs.
Right.
Yeah.
They kind of thought it's a speed kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we were out of action for 5 days. We had a day to record it and a day to mix it, and obviously we ended up doing that.
But I mean, any other band in the world would have recorded a backing track, something like that. Yeah, or at least that's called.
5 days, why restrict it to 2 days?
Well, because we couldn't afford to go over that, and you know the way that the ball were, we wouldn't record the backing track. I mean, he wasn't that disciplined. Quite often the thing would go on Mark's cue. So I mean, it's not like we could say, right, we'll go and put all the backing track down. That wouldn't have been the fall way of doing it. And it was a debut album as well.
You just know he'd say that shit anyway, wouldn't he?
He would. Right. But I mean, that came in later on, I think, didn't it? With you, where everything was 4 of these, 8 of these, and he worked around the music in the end, because that was always a thing when I was in the band. To know the words and just like, especially Joe Bone of the Air Rifles, the one, you know.
You never got right.
Well, he would normally come in halfway through a bar, wouldn't he?
Bar, I was told
not to wait one bar.
Yeah.
I was told not to wait one bar. As soon as I say this, I want to be into the chorus.
I will back you.
And it would always be halfway through.
Got all of us fucking up, but you get it. I'm right.
Bollocks to you lot.
I was never right.
But he's dead right. He did say, when I say this, you've got to go. Yeah.
It's just ridiculous, you know. In the Pentacle country, it's a fuck up.
Yeah. He's trying to get it all out.
Broken Brothers Pentacle Island, made to make your summer. Just follow that. Oh, okay.
They say that all the time. They do it at Temple Arms as well.
Yeah.
Because they do like a. Because I just. I didn't play anything like that. I just did it. Put your glue in there. Yeah. And it goes in line. And they wait for me to go, put your glue in there.
Yeah, put you off. And scowl at you. Roll his eyes.
No, I've got it down so far now. I knew whether it was fucking trying that, so I was just going to do myself.
It's a bit like with the bouncers at the free trade. Oh, you've got a really Jewish shimmy.
Hence Temple House is 17 minutes long.
After you. After you.
We did Temple Arms. You were originally Temple Arms. We played Mouth Organ.
Did I?
Yeah. Right. I don't remember what.
I'm the Larry Adler of the Blank Generation.
Yeah. I mean, there was loads of stuff. That was one of them ones. that we played, we had for ages, that got sort of cast aside for a while, either binned altogether or done a year later because of the fucking room to live, the stuff we made up on the phone, he made up on the phone.
So did I not play on the recording version of Tempo Act?
No, right. It's live from the Hacienda, the recording version of Tempo Act.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But there's that, and there's a couple of Wings as well, I think you were on originally.
Well, I wrote the original riff for Wings.
There's a
new
one claiming it. It's
a different riff! I know it was. You
were
on the wall, didn't you?
Yeah,
totally different. It's
completely
fan of the wall version, isn't it?
I do remember it. Get Your Flabby Wings. But obviously, a completely different song when it came out.
Sound like Chas and Dave.
I wrote Snooker Loopy as well. And did you say I didn't?
Thanks for joining us for the final episode of Series 2 of Old Brother. We'll be taking a break for a while, but we will be back later in the year. I must say thanks to our brilliant guests this series. It's been an absolute joy to speak to all of them. While we're away, please follow us on Twitter, at Old Brother Show. You can find links to our Spotify playlist on there, or why not subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher or RSS, then you'll be all set for Series 3. While you're at it, you can give us a rating on iTunes, subscribe on YouTube or just tell your friends. For further reading, you can check out our books about the fall, The Big Midweek and Our Bleeding Guess, both available from Root Publishers and all good bookstores. Hope to see you all again soon, and remember, if you're driving, take your car. Ta-da!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.